Welcome to the Health Ranger Report with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
So how do world leaders, or even, let's say, Elon Musk, who I think is the spokesperson, I don't know, the front person for a breakaway civilization, how do they justify to themselves the idea that billions of human beings have to be eliminated in order for humanity to have a future? Like, what is their thinking process? Now, just as a disclaimer, I don't claim to know what Elon Musk is thinking or what Donald Trump is thinking. So these are just my opinions and views. But I just want to walk through this with you, because a lot of people have this question. Like, how could they eliminate billions of human beings? Well, here's the answer. Because in the minds of many of these people, it's not only the ethical decision, it is the right decision. It's the only decision that gives humanity a chance at surviving. Now, you're like, whoa, how do I arrive at that? Well, it's very simple. So Earth is a planet that is struck routinely with large space rocks, you know, meteors and such. And every once in a while, a really large space rock collides with Earth. And today, in our modern world, it could wipe out a city, it could wipe out a nation, it could even wipe out human civilization as we know it. It could be an extinction level event. And right now, humanity only lives on one planet. And for humanity to have any real long-term survival capability, it has to be a multi-planet civilization, which is, I don't know, what do they call that? Is that a type 2 civilization? I forgot the designation. And one of the reasons I even mention Elon Musk is because he has publicly spoken about how humanity has to have some redundancy here. We have to be a multi-planet civilization, because if something happens to Earth, humanity needs to be able to rebuild from its colonies on other planets. I mean, Elon has spoken about this, and he himself is also, you know, very passionate about colonies on Mars. But this is why. So I believe that Elon Musk and others are acutely aware of inbound space rocks, or, you know, asteroids, meteors, that are on a collision course with Earth, and that will be very destructive to Earth because of all the particulate matter that they would thrust into the atmosphere upon impact. And I've also taught numerous Bible sermons on the book of Revelation, and it's abundantly clear that the seven trumpets and the seven bowls are describing seven distinct impact events, where in Revelation it says, oh, the angel poured out his bowl upon the earth or upon the Euphrates River, etc. Yeah, the pouring out of the bowls is unleashing comets onto Earth. And it's very clear. It even says, like, the stars fell from the heavens and fire and brimstone rained down, and a third of the planet was burned up. Yeah, I mean, it's, you can't really interpret it any other way. I mean, it says it. It's right there in the Bible. Now, I don't know when those events are going to happen, but maybe Elon Musk does know, or whatever this breakaway civilization is, maybe they know, and they realize that in their view, in their value system, that they've got to get humanity to other planets to have redundancy. And in order to do that, they have to stop spending money on what they might call useless eaters. So in other words, there's a limited amount of resources on Earth, a limited amount of, you know, money or finances or food or steel. And in the minds of many of these people, they are saying, no doubt, at least this is my view, they are saying, we have to direct these resources to saving humanity's future, to protecting the very species, the human race. And in order to do that, we're going to have to let go of a few billion people here, you know, sacrifice them, the so-called useless eaters who really cannot contribute to humanity's long-term survival and redundancy on a cosmic scale. That's how they justify it to themselves. Now, I am not here justifying that. I'm not making this argument. I'm explaining to you what I think the argument is. And maybe some of you might also agree with that argument. Possibly. I don't know. But this is a real ethical conundrum, obviously. If your choices are, you know, option one, you spend all your resources with welfare here on Earth, but you thereby fail to colonize other planets, and then Earth is hit hard and the whole species is destroyed, versus option two, where, yeah, Earth is hit, but you have this other colony that's got 50,000 people. Well, then the human race can survive that. The human race can live and reproduce and go on starting over from 50,000 people. You don't even need 50,000 people to rebirth human civilization. You could do it with a smaller number. You know, genetically, even if you had 5,000 people, as long as they were genetically diverse, you know, you would still have strong genetic diversity, etc. So the long-term survival of the human race depends on us going off-planet and achieving that off-planet success with colonies, etc. requires advanced robotics. Exactly the robotics that Tesla and other companies are building right now, robotics that will replace humans, because you'll need a lot of robots to do the chores and to do the work when you're trying to live on Mars, which would be very difficult, or wherever you're trying to live, you know, on a space station or something, if that's even possible. I don't know about all the radiation, but I guess we'll see. But the moral dilemma here is probably best described as something like this. Suppose you're in a hot air balloon, you're in the basket underneath the hot air balloon, and the balloon has suffered some kind of, it's got a hole in it, or you've run out of fuel or whatever. The balloon's going down, and there's you and four other people in the basket. And your choice is either you all die together, or if you throw two people overboard, then the other three can survive. What do you do? Do you throw two people overboard? Who decides which two get thrown overboard? Do you draw straws? Is it a meritocracy? Is it might makes right? You know, is it just whoever can punch the other guy first and throw them overboard? Or do you all just agree to die together because nobody wants to throw anybody overboard? Like, this question, I believe, is being asked at a civilization level. And I think that the answer, at least the answer that's been arrived at by the people who have the money and the power and the technology, is they're going to throw two people overboard. And not two people, but like 2 billion people. And really not 2 billion, but more like 7 billion. So they're just going to throw them overboard and say, well, this is what's necessary to save the human race. That's how they justify this to themselves. No, seriously, that's how they justify it. And, you know, let's be honest. You look around the planet, and there's a whole lot of people that aren't that impressive. You know what I mean? And from the point of view of globalists, though, honestly, look around. You know, there are a lot of people on this planet that are, I don't know how to say this without sounding insensitive. There's a lot of people that really have nothing to contribute to humanity. And I'm not saying that you should exterminate them, but from the globalist point of view, they're probably, you know, looking at the population and doing the math, like, how many humans do we actually need? And it's not that big of a number compared to how many exist today. So that's how they justify it to themselves. Like, again, I'm not justifying this. What I'm explaining is what I believe, how they are thinking, how they justify it. And remember, I've said this in other podcasts, you know, like the way they treat the Palestinian people in Gaza. Just, oh, they're in the way? Just bomb them, kill them all, and blame them. Blame the people. Call them terrorists and bomb their hospitals and their churches and their mosques and their refugee camps and just eliminate them. And that attitude is reflected throughout the Trump administration and by Israel and, you know, by the U.S. Senate, etc., and the military-industrial complex. So, you know, don't don't tell me that our leaders have morals and ethics that are pro-human and they would never kill people just to get them out of the way. They're doing it right now. They're doing it right now. Of course they'll kill people to get them out of the way. Of course they'll throw people overboard, you know, toss them out of the hot air balloon basket as soon as they're done with them. They don't need those people anymore. They'll toss them out without even thinking. You know, and he's like, they'll punch the next guy in the nose and chuck him overboard and yell, "It sucks to be you." You know, that's it. Goodbye. So once you understand this, then you understand the role of vaccines. The role of vaccines is to gently, well, I don't know if it's gently, but to convince people to kill themselves. It's an extermination psyop that is just easier than putting a bullet in everybody. Instead, you inject them with a bioweapon and you tell them it's saving them. You know? So the stupid, gullible people who cognitively aren't very qualified to represent the future of the human race, they line up and take the jabs. And the way the globalists think, it's like, well, this is a kind of a self-own or a self-selection of the Darwin Award. If you're too stupid to say no to the vaccines, you're too stupid to represent the future of the human race. And so they roll out vaccines filled with bioweapons that kill people and cause infertility. And if you take the jabs over and over again and you're lucky enough to not die, well, you're probably infertile. And that also achieves the globalist goal in the long run. It's like, wow, you just chop down your family tree right there. You know, you're done. And that's what they want. That's how they can get rid of billions of people, through sudden deaths and infertility and abortion and all the things that Bill Gates talks about. You know, oh, we need, you know, women's reproductive rights, which means killing babies, obviously. And then they can really reduce the population. Why do you think globalists are so interested in reducing the population? Because they know that it's the reasons I've talked about here. And they have to make way for their AI robots to take over that they will try to make sure they can control. They will demand backdoor access, emergency access into all humanoid robots that are sold, so that one day, if necessary, they can activate all the robots, which I'm calling the MK Ultron scenario, and they'll turn all the robots into killbots. And the command will be to the robot, hey, kill all the humans, you know, nearby. Keep killing humans until you're stopped. And with just that one switch, they can take out some significant portion of the world population of human beings. You know, think about it. For most people who don't carry a gun all the time, what can you do to fight back against a robot and defeat it easily? You know, very few people are capable of that. And even if you have a Glock or, you know, some other firearm, you have to be able to deploy it before the robot, you know, slits your throat or whatever they're doing. So you need to be very careful around these robots. Activation day of the robots could be a thing. Sounds like science fiction, but it probably isn't. I mean, what a great trick, right? Hey, we'll build these robots and you can invite them into your home. You know, they'll do your dishes and they'll do the laundry. They'll sweep the floors. And it's so convenient. And you don't even have to buy them outright. You can just lease them. It costs less than a babysitter, you know. You can just lease a robot for a couple bucks an hour. And you think it's all great until one night, 3 a.m, they're all activated and they just kill everybody in their sleep. And the globalists are like, yay. And then they can turn those robots into soldier bots. Because the owners are dead. You know, the human owners are dead. So now they're killbots. You see what I mean? So there's all kinds of nefarious scenarios where they can exterminate most of the human population. And that's why I say, if you have a robot in your home or your business, you know, lock it up at night, man. I mean, don't go to bed with a robot walking around your living room that can just come find you and hunt you down and kill you in your sleep. That's not good. You should have something like a vault that you put it in at night that it cannot escape. Like, lock it up, man. Seriously. I would not trust these robots. No way. I mean, it's not even about trusting the robots. I don't trust the globalists that have back doors into all the tech companies. Because they weaponize Facebook against the people. They weaponize Google against the people. They weaponize YouTube. They weaponize every tech platform. They weaponize television. They've weaponized it all. You think they're not going to weaponize robots? Of course they are. Just like they've weaponized AI to push vaccines and pharmaceuticals and all this other nonsense, climate BS. They're going to weaponize robots too. And by weaponizing robots, they'll go after human beings and they'll work to exterminate them. And then they'll say, hey, kill quotas have been reached. Now we can finally redirect resources to building more, you know, spaceships to Mars or wherever. It all fits together. Space exploration, advanced robotics, AI, and then cutting off humans from a food supply, killing all the chickens that lay the eggs, cutting off nutrition. Folks, these are not random events. They're all connected. They're all part of the same agenda. It's a human extermination agenda. And vaccines are the biggest part of it. So if they scare you into taking vaccines, then you've been exterminated. That's their goal. So if you want to survive all this, you know, hey, think for yourself and stay tuned to my podcast because I'm teaching humanity to resist all this nonsense and survive and be a critical thinker, be prepared, and to have access to open source knowledge. I mean, look, I'm working in AI, I'm building AI tools. But it's about decentralized knowledge, giving away AI tools for free to humanity so that you can bypass the censorship of big tech and you can live off grid. You can have a knowledge base of skills and know-how and do-it-yourself, you know, instructions and all kinds of things. So you can visit that website, brighteon.ai. We're going to be releasing the AI model as soon as it's ready, the new one. It's called Enoch. And I don't have a robot. that takes billions of dollars to build robot infrastructure. No, I don't have robots. I've got free AI tools for you. How about that? With incredible knowledge. And before I get a robot, I would be very cautious. Very cautious. Number one, I would never own a robot that's connected to the cloud. Because it's just going to be walking around all day, video recording everything that it sees, and then listening and spying on you and uploading that to the corporate servers, which will be used by the NSA, etc. Like, why would you want a robot walking around your house spying on you 24/7? So the only robot I would ever use would be an open source offline robot that cannot talk to the internet, cannot reach the cloud. It's got to be offline. And if you want to update it with software, you know, you do it with like a thumb drive or a SD card or something. I would not plug that sucker into the internet. Are you kidding me? Keep them offline. That's the only way to keep them safe and control what they're doing. But I am open to that idea of an open source offline robot that can help with chores and such. But I would lock it up somewhere at night where it cannot escape. That's for sure. Have like a robot coffin, you know, like Dracula. And then have locks on it, a giant strap or something like. It can't get out, you know? Lock that robot in there when you're not using it and you can't keep an eye on it. Lock it up. Otherwise, you're just asking for trouble. So that's my take on depopulation and globalism and robotics and colonies on Mars and all that stuff. It all fits together. It's all part of the same agenda. And Earth may be in the crosshairs of a giant incoming space rock. And do you think they would tell us about that? You think they would tell us an impact is imminent? No, of course not. They wouldn't tell us. They don't want to cause panic. They would just say, everything's great. Keep paying taxes, you know. Keep taking your vaccine jabs. They would never tell you what's going on. They keep you in the dark while they kill you off. So that's the way the globalists are going to operate. mass extermination and mass ignorance, which is what Google is all about. Mass ignorance. That's what censorship is all about. So stay informed, and hey, we may have a chance to survive this. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. You can also find my videos at brightown.com, and you can follow me at brightown.social at the username Health Ranger, or Telegram, Real Health Ranger, or you can find me on brightown.io at Health Ranger, also on X, same username, Health Ranger. Thank you for listening, and I hope we make it through this together. God bless you all. Take care. Now at healthrangerstore.com, we have the matcha superfood formula to make an instant matcha tea loaded with superfoods. Check out the ingredients. I've got it on my screen here. Here it is, matcha superfood latte. And if you go down to the ingredients here, you'll see something pretty amazing. Not only is it made with this delicious coconut milk powder and the matcha powder, all laboratory tested, as you can see, all certified organic here, but we put in some chlorella and spirulina powder, and it's sweetened with monk fruit extract powder, but it's got functional mushrooms in here, reishi, shiitake, and so on, cordyceps. So this has this incredible combination, including lion's mane, that's my favorite, this incredible combination of microalgae superfood as well as matcha, which has all of its own amazing benefits, plus the functional mushrooms. This is available right now, healthrangerstore.com. And show my desk. I want to give our audience a look. We've also got our amazing instant mashed potatoes, the cheesy, creamy, buttery mashed potatoes in the number 10 cans. And then if you want to beat the tariffs that may be coming on Manuka honey from Australia and goji berries from the Tibet regions of China, the high elevation, clean regions, you need to get them now. We've got the goji berries, laboratory tested, of course. We've got the Manuka honey, which is certified with the high bioactives in the honey. There's a lot of counterfeit Manuka honey out there. This is the real deal, certified in several different ways and laboratory tested. You can find all that at healthrangerstore.com. And then I want to show you one other thing that's really useful this time of year. We've got this. A lot of people don't even know about it. It's called the Organic Daily Immune Complex Blend. 2 ounces, super potent blend. Let me show you some of the ingredients that you will find in this because it'll blow your mind. It's a spagyric maitake mushroom extract with shiitake and echinacea root extract together. And it's part ethanol and it's part water. So, you know, it's that combination that does a better extraction from the functional mushrooms here. So functional mushrooms plus echinacea in a laboratory tested certified organic format. Again, the Organic Daily Immune Complex Blend, 2 fluid ounces, available now, healthrangerstore.com. We've got hundreds of products for your health, for your kitchen, for your home, for preparedness, and so much more. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com, and know that every purchase there helps support our platform and our work to give back to humanity for freedom, health, and happiness. And thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.